He's walking. He's making his little way down there. And if we lose
him, we're walking. Okay, still got you.
Now you flip phones. I heard that.
Yep.
You want to take a call now, or you just want to walk?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Mike from Fontana.
Hi, Mike. California. Welcome.
How you doing? Richard C. You know, it's a fabulous night out here, looking at Mars. I want to get your take on advancement after the shuttle program in the next 10 years. I want to see your take on different programs that will come up in the next 10 to 15 years where we can get to Mars quicker and faster, and none of these orbiters that are orbiting the Earth. It's just been fascinating to see the shuttle program go up the last 25 years, but I think we need to advance a little bit more beyond the shuttle. That's my own opinion.
All right, and I'll let you take your answer on the radio, Michael. Were you able to get that, Richard?
Yeah, I sure did. Well, he's absolutely right. If we're going to get to Mars with men and women, we're going to need something much more advanced than the shuttle. We're going to need something much more advanced than the shuttle to get the pieces into orbit. And we need basically the Prometheus project, which is nuclear power in space to get men and women to Mars there and back safely in a reasonable amount of time. That's why the editorial in Science is so interesting, because it's like the mainstream telling us.
I can tell you're walking.
Yep. And we're in the dome, and we're still in contact.
Yep, I can still hear you.
Oh, my God, look at this scope. When you see the pictures on the web of what this looks like a professional observatory. It's a very large telescope, 2 feet across. It's probably weighs 5 tons. Apparently you can do handstands on it and doesn't move. It's about 4 feet long, maybe? Okay, here's a little nameplate. It's Ealing Beck Limited, Watford Hertz in England. It was made by, I thought it was Bowler and Shivens, it's not. It's made by Ealing Beck Limited in England, serial number 210. And I'm looking up along the tube through the slit, and Mars now is almost blinding, George. It is absolutely breathtaking. I'm looking down now through this eyepiece.
You can still see that greenish look?
Oh, my gosh. Now I see it's hanging right in the middle of the field of view, because the motors are counteracting the rotation of the Earth. I need to give you the flashlight. And here's the finder scope. This is a 6-inch finder. Smaller telescope, lower magnification.
I love live radio.
You love what?
I love live radio.
Oh, so do I, you know.
Nothing like it.
I'm moving the rack and pinion focus in to adjust it for my eyes. Okay.
Cronkite taught you this, didn't he?
Well, I kind of, you know, work with the best, and when you hang around with the best, you know, if you at all listening, you kind of pick up.
You pick up some tricks of the trade.
But actually, it was Art that taught me this. This is radio, folks.
You got it.
Now, in this telescope, the South Polar Cap is, because of the angle and the orientation eyepiece, is down in the 7 o'clock position. And it's a little fuzzy because the air above the clouds, above the haze, is not as steady as it was. There's what we call chromatic aberration, which, because Mars is kind of low in the sky from here, it's what, 40 degrees, Phil?
Yeah.
The atmosphere is actually acting like a prism. So through the eyepiece, the top part of the planet has a tinge of blue, and the bottom part, where the polar cap, has a tinge of red, because you're getting what's called prismatic dispersion.
What happened to the polar caps on the north? Because I've seen older pictures, they were all over the place.
Well, no. If you think of the geometry, the south pole of Mars is tilted toward the Earth. Mars is tilted on its axis by 25 degrees.
All right.
Earth is about 22 and a half. So it's like looking at the Earth with the North Pole tipped away and the South Pole tipped towards you.
So it is on the other side.
Oh, it's on the other side, and there is, if you look at the Hubble image that came down today, the color one?
Yes.
You remember that bluish thing across the top of Mars on the other side from the cap?
Yep.
That's what's called the North Polar Hood, which is forming over the North Polar Cap, and it's raining carbon dioxide snow under that. There are huge blizzards of swirling white frozen carbon dioxide, which are layering themselves out as snow on the northern hemisphere of Mars, on the northern polar cap, while we're experiencing summer in the southern hemisphere.
And the winds must be incredible.
Well, there are times when the winds have been clocked at 300 miles per hour. Now, the actual pressure on your hand, if you could, you know, stand out in a hurricane wind like that,
mm-hmm.
would be almost insignificant because the pressure is so low. The density of the Mars atmosphere is so thin that even though you have such high wind velocities, the actual ability of the atmosphere to move you or to move things is pretty insignificant.
You mean you wouldn't get blown away if you were down there?
No, not at all, because there's such a thin atmosphere. But it's dense enough to pick up this incredible finely divided dust, which has not had water to cement it into larger particles for millions, if not hundreds of millions of years.
Yeah.
And so you get talcum powder consistent dust, which this fine atmosphere, this very thin atmosphere, is still able to pick up and blow to very high altitudes, tens of miles. And that's why you get the global dust storms, because you're basically looking at one global climatic regime.
Now, I'm looking at a picture that Hubble took, which was incredible as well.
Yeah,
probably
that's
pretty close.
A picture from today.
Probably pretty close to some of the things you're seeing now. Where's Cydonia? Is it right in the middle almost?
It's almost in the middle of the disk.
Okay.
I looked at the computer before we came up a couple of days ago in terms of the Mount Wilson experiment.
Mm-hmm.
It turned out that, I'm actually not seeing some of the things that I saw at Lowell, because the atmosphere from here tonight is not as steady. And again, this is why this video astronomy experiment that we're doing, which I'm really hoping I get access to that data, is so important, because this allows you to basically put any telescope in space above the atmosphere by freezing the moments of good seeing, putting them together, and producing individual images that rival the best resolution the telescope is capable of at this distance from the planet.